Sabbath, everybody. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. What do you say? Amen. Thank you. It is good to be with you this morning. Amen. I want to say thanks to the ministers of music this morning. What do you say? Delighted to be here. I want to say thanks in his absence to your pastor, indeed, for the introduction and for the invitation to be here this morning. I want to say thanks to your elder for making it possible just to work out the details so that my wife and myself could be here on this morning. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's do this again. Happy Sabbath, everyone. I hope you're happy to be here today. Indeed, if you're happy, why don't you praise the Lord? If you're really happy, why don't you shout hallelujah? Because God is good. What do you say? And all the time, God is good. Amen. Amen. Of course, worshiping with me this morning is my most beautiful better half. The last time I was here, she watched me from her hospital bed. But today she's here in the house of God. Amen. Sweetheart, would you mind standing so that the brethren could see you? There she is. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I won't take too much of your time. Just going to share with you a word from the Lord, and then I'll be out of your way shortly. May I call your sermonic attention this morning to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And I will read in your hearing from verse 1 to verse 10. Genesis, the 22nd chapter. I'll read in your hearing from verse 1 to verse 10. And when you have found it, in honor of the reading of the Word of God, I do invite you to stand with me. Genesis, the 22nd chapter, from verse 1 to verse 10. And I'll read in your hearing from the New King James Version of our Bible, and these verses will form the context of our sermonic discourse this morning. If you have it, please say amen. Amen. The Bible reads, "Now it came to pass after these things, but God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." I just feel like reading that one more time. "The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Verse 6, "So Abram took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it in Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, we have the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself. God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Isaac stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." The Lord hath already added a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. I'd like to entitle our brief sermonic discourse this morning, Trading Places. Trading Places. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will speak now, for we are prepared to listen. In Jesus' name, You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm always encouraged when the text begins with the expression that came to pass. I'm always encouraged when the text begins with the expression that came to pass. Because indeed, it suggests to me that whatever came didn't come to linger on, it came to pass. I'm impressed that whatever it is that came this week didn't come to linger, didn't come to abide. It came to pass. Can you testify that something came your way this week, but you figured out quickly enough that as bad as it was, as challenging as it was, it really didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Because didn't somebody encounter some sickness this week, but then you found out that it didn't come to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Didn't somebody run into some difficulty in the job this week, but then you discovered that it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Somebody ran into some family difficulties this week, but then you discovered through the Spirit of God that it really didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Can I talk to the church this morning? And so, ladies and gentlemen, our text begins with the expression, and it came to pass, that God did tempt Abraham, the King James Version of the Bible says, and said to Abraham, Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him therefore upon the land of Moriah for a burnt offering. The Bible said it came to pass. And of course, it came to pass suggests that it is but a temporary experience. The Bible said that God tempt Abraham, and a bit confusing, because when I consider the character of God, James chapter 1 tells me, let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is conceived, it bringeth forth death. Therefore, if the Bible tells me in James that God does not tempt anyone, I must find out what is the meaning of the word tempt. And when I went to the meaning of the word, it means that God simply tested Abraham. He tested him to prove him is a church with a preacher today. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, and oftentimes God will test you. And God doesn't test you so that he can know where you are, but he tests you so that you can know where you are. Can I talk to you today? The trial of your faith, the Bible says, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, your testing, ladies and gentlemen, is so that God can show you where you are with him. Here it is. The Bible says that God tested or tempted Abraham after these things. I'm encouraged by the expression, because after these things suggests a teacher-student relationship. After these things, there was a time when I used to be in school. Is anyone in school? I used to go to school, and my wife is a teacher, and my wife will tell you that she only gives her student a test after these things. Oh, hallelujah. She only gives a test after she has taught something. I said she only gives a test after she has taught something. Because a testing is designed for you to pass, but a trial or a temptation is designed for you to fail. The devil tempts you so that you may fail, but God tests you so that you may pass. It is why God only tests you after these things. In other words, God is giving you an open book test. Is anybody in the church with me today? After God has taught you something, then that is the time that God tests you. When the devil tempts you, he tempts you so that you may fail. Can I say it one more time? But when God tests you, God tests test you so that you may fail. Can I talk to the church today? And so, ladies and gentlemen, the teacher never tests until the teacher has taught. The teacher never tests until the teacher has taught. And the Bible tells me that Abraham has had a long and long convoluted lesson with God. The trial and testing that had already characterized Abraham's experience with God. The Bible tells me that 9 different times preceding this occasion, God had taught him and showed him that he's still God. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible said God commanded him to leave his home. And he testified, and Paul testified in Hebrews, like Abraham, we look for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham is forced then in Genesis 12 verse 10 to visit Egypt because there was a famine, and forced to make a decision to protect himself and his wife, and God came through for him. In verse 15, he lost his wife to Pharaoh. In chapter 14 and verse 13, he's forced to rescue his nephew by making a military unit out of his servants. 16, verse 2 and 3, he's tempted by his wife to lie with her maid in order to fulfill God's promise. In chapter 17, verse 23, he had to circumcise all the male members of his household. In chapter 20 and verse 2, he lost his wife a second time. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 11, he must make the heart-wrenching decision to abandon one of his children. It was after these things that God did test Abraham. Is the church still with the preacher today? And so here it is, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible said that God never questioned Abraham when God told him that he should sacrifice his son. It is interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that when the Bible says after these things, that the Bible is telling us that God made this promise to Abraham 25 years before God fulfilled the promise. After these things. And God is saying to Abraham, I can wait for 25 years to fulfill a promise and still fulfill my promise because I am God. It was after these things, after God had given him the child that he promised him. It was after these things, after Isaac had become the darling of his mother. After these things, after God had promised Abraham that through his son Isaac, all the families of the earth will be blessed. It was after these things, after God told Abraham that his seed would be like the stars of the sky. It was after these things that God tested. After God tested Abraham, the Bible says that God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him as a burnt offering. He never really questioned God. He followed God wholeheartedly. Because indeed, there are times when God will ask you to bear the unbearable. He will ask you to do what seems unreasonable. And he will ask you to expect what seems impossible. Is the church with me today? But here is what we ought to understand. God never asks us to do anything for him that he is not prepared to do for us. In fact, God never asks us to do anything for him that he has not already done for us. Because while the Bible is telling me that God is asking Abraham for his only son, can I talk to you today? The Bible is also telling me that God is prepared to give up his only son. It is what the teachers in school call the antithetical parallelism, which suggests, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a parallel between the story of the Old Testament and what God is about to do through Jesus Christ. For the Bible said, God said to Abraham, take now your son, and in case you don't know which son, your only son. And in case you say you have two of them, I'm talking about the one that I gave you. The other one, I don't know where you got him from, but I didn't give you. Can I talk to the church today? But the one I gave you. And in fact, you want to be more specific. I'm talking talking about Isaac. Take now Isaac, your only son, the one whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering. Because the Bible tells me that God is prepared to offer his only son. John 3:16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I talk to the church today? As Abraham is being asked to give up his only son, so is God giving up his only son. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that God is asking Abraham to give up his son, because God himself is prepared to give up his only son. Abraham, the Bible tells us that Abraham followed the counsel of God. And Abraham took two young men with him and took his donkey and wood and his son. Something told me that he never told his son what he was about to do. In fact, I'm sure he didn't tell Mrs. Abraham what he was about to do. Because surely if he told Mrs. Abraham what he was about to do, then Mrs. Abraham would probably offer him as the burnt offering instead. Can I talk to the church today? Because there are times when God will ask you to do things that you have to just keep it to yourself. You can't ask anyone's opinion. You can't ask anyone's permission. You can ask for anyone's accompany. Is anybody in the church with me? Because folk don't always understand the things that God asks you to do. They'll look at you crazy. They'll tell you need to call 911 because this brother is out of his mind. Because God's way is not your way. And God does not always work the way man works. And in this circumstance, the Bible said that God is asking Abraham to do the impossible. So Abraham took his son, took wood, fire, put them on a donkey, and traveled for 3 days to the land of Moriah. I wish I had time to tell you that though Abraham had 3 days to think about and agonize over this business of offering his son as a burnt offering, where God is concerned, he had eternity to think about and agonize over giving up his only son. Because Jesus, Bible said that Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Can I talk to the church today? Abraham must only bear it for 3 days, but God must live with it eternity, knowing that one day he will give up his only son. Is the church with the preacher today? And so this journey from Beersheba to Mount Moriah must have been one of the most difficult journeys that Abraham could ever have had. He's walking beside his son, whom he was about to kill. Yet he couldn't tell him, making small talk. And when he feels that he was about to let the secret out, he just had to keep quiet. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? Because sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, God will put you through the difficult in order to prove to you that he's still God. The Bible said that eventually they arrived in the land of Moriah. And when they got there, in verse 5, Abraham said to his accompaniment, wait here with the donkeys. Do you see that in your text? Wait here with the donkeys, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will. Oh, hallelujah. We will come back to you. I wish I had time to unpack this for you. Abraham said, the lad and I are going yonder to worship. Well, Abraham, what you're really going to do is sacrifice your son. So how is it that you're about to sacrifice, but yet you're telling the lads you are going to worship? You are going to sacrifice, but then you just said you're going to worship. Suggesting to me that there is no worship without sacrifice, and there is no sacrifice without worship. Is anybody in the church with a preacher? In order to really worship, you must sacrifice. sacrifice. In order to really sacrifice, you must worship. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? So when you come up into the church of God, you don't come to get stuff. You come to sacrifice. The Bible says, I come into the house of God with the sacrifice of praise. Is anybody in the church with me? When you come to worship, you come to sacrifice. Here it is, here it is, here it is. You can't come to worship without bringing a sacrifice. By just coming, you're sacrificing. Because indeed, you would have preferred to be somewhere else. But while you come, you must also bring with you a sacrifice. Allow me to break it down. Worship is not about coming to get. Worship is about coming with something to give. I wish I had a church in the house today. You can't come to worship without giving something. So I often have a problem with the people who say to me, Pastor, I didn't get anything out of worship today. And my question is, what were you expecting to get? Because the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, when you come to worship, you don't come to get. Because my God, God has been good to you all week. He's given you for 6 days health and strength, a job to go to, a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on your table, a vehicle to drive. Yet when you come to church, you're still expecting to get. Worship is about giving. Can I talk to the church? I said worship is about giving. You can't come to church and don't give. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? So you don't come to church to sit down and look at the preacher that he will give you something. You come to give God your praises. You come to give God your worship. Is anybody in the church with me today? And you don't need the praise team to praise for you. Because when God was giving you your blessing, the praise team wasn't there. So the praise team can't praise for you. You got to lift your hand, open your mouth, and shout hallelujah all by yourself. Because God blessed you all by yourself. I wonder sometimes... Where and when do we worship a church? I wonder sometimes. Because we process in. We sit and we look. And then somebody comes up here and does a congregational hymn. And the praise team is essentially singing the congregational hymn to the rest of us. And we're looking on. Is anybody in the church? And then somebody reads to us. Somebody prays for us. Somebody sings to us. Somebody comes to us for the offering and the tithe. And sometimes we don't put nothing in. Can I talk to the church today? And then somebody gets up and preach to us. And at the end of the day, we get up and go. And we complain that we didn't. Is anybody in the church with me today? Well, you don't expect to get anything if you didn't give anything. Is anybody in the church with me today? You've got to empty yourself of what you came with so that God can fill you up with what you need. You need to give your praises to God. Abraham said, the lad and I, can I talk to you today? We'll go yonder and worship and come back. But Abraham, you're about to offer a sacrifice. Hear the preacher today. A sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It's not something you give from your abundance. Sacrifice in the text means that you are giving what you cannot afford to give. I said you're giving what you cannot afford to give.
If you give it, you ain't got nothing left. That's why it is called a sacrifice. Is anybody in the church with me today? But when you give of your abundance, you're just giving a contribution. When you give out of what just what you have, you are sacrificing. And don't you know that God has a way of rewarding your sacrifice? For Abraham, this sacrifice was his test. Can I talk to the church? I said this sacrifice was his test. But here is what Abraham came to realize. There is no test without testimony. There is no testimony without test. Oh, hallelujah. Is anybody in the church with me? Furthermore, when you are tested, you are tested to see where you are so that God can determine whether to move you to another level. My wife is a fourth grade teacher, and she will tell you that she gives her students a test at the end of the year. And the test is to determine whether or not they have mastered fourth grade material so that they qualify to move up to fifth grade. Because if you haven't mastered fourth grade material, then you can't move up to fifth grade. May I bring it down to somebody today? Oftentimes when God tests you, it is so you could know whether you have mastered fourth grade material. Is anybody in the church with me? People talking about you, scandalize your name. How do you respond? Because don't you know that this is just fourth grade material? People are hating on you. How do you respond? Don't you know this is just fourth grade material? If you're unable to master fourth grade material, God can move you to another level. That is why some folk, when they come to church, they've been giving the same testimony for the past 10 years. Because they haven't passed the test. They complain about the test. They complain and they run away from the test. But if you run away from the test, you can't. Is anybody in the church with me? Don't you know that God is waiting to elevate you, to move you to another level in your experience with Him? But if you can't manage the little things, can I talk to the church? If you can't run with the footmen, you can't keep up with the horsemen, and God will not put more on you than you can bear. If you can't handle the little things, God ain't gonna give you some big things. Is anybody in the church? I gotta move on. The Bible said, Abraham said, we're going to yonder and worship. Do you see that? We're going to worship because worship is doing what God says. Can I talk to the church? And then we, do you see the word in the text? We will come back. I pause there for a moment. Can I park here for a minute? I plan to keep the engine running. Is anybody in the church with me? Here it is. Here it is. Abraham, how do you go to kill your son? And then telling folk that the two of you coming back. Bro, you're going to kill the fella. So how are you telling people? Here it is. There's a difference in having personal confidence. But in this time, it's not just personal confidence. He's making it a statement of fact. We're coming back. Is anybody in the church? The two of us, do you get it? The two of us coming back. But then I went into Abraham's history with God. I went into Abraham's history with Isaac. And Abraham realized that God gave him this boy from the dead. So God can bring him back from the dead. What do you mean, preacher? When God gave Abraham this boy, it was medically impossible, biologically impossible, humanly impossible for him to have a son. Abraham was already in retirement. Even Sarah laughed at God. Is anybody in the church with me today? Abraham was 100 years old when God gave him the son. Is anybody in the church? God gave it to him out of the dead. So if God can give him to me from the dead, then something tells me that God can bring, is anybody in the church with a preacher today? If you can give him to me out of the impossible the first time, then I believe you can give him back to me from the impossible the second time. Because God is a God of the impossible. The text said that Abraham, both Abraham and Isaac went together. Both of them. Both of them went together. Abraham put the wood. Do you see it in the text? Abraham put the wood for the burnt offering on the back of Isaac. He put the wood for the burnt offering on the back of Isaac. I'm just tempted to say it one more time. He put the wood. Can you talk? Can I talk to somebody today? The wood on which he's about to be sacrificed, he's carrying it on his back, showing me that down the road, 2,500 years later, there is going to be another Isaac that would be carrying the wood, all 400 pounds of it, on his back. The wood on which he's about to be sacrificed. Like Jesus carried the cross on his back. So Isaac carried the wood on his back. Suggesting to me, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There's a cross for everyone and there's a cross. Is anybody in the church with me today? In this moment, Isaac was a type of Jesus. The text said they went, both of them together. Father went with son in order to be sacrificed. Reminding me that the text said that God was in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, reconciling the world unto himself. I said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. But I got to wrap this thing up and send you home. Here it is. The text said, they arrived at the place where God told Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. I don't want the church to miss the gravity. Abraham, God told Abraham to kill your son. There's a difference in taking the son and have somebody else to do the killing. But God is saying to Abraham, I want you to do it yourself. Hallelujah. But here it is. It is a burnt offering. Burnt offerings, ladies and gentlemen, you didn't just cut the neck of the lamb. For a burnt offering, you must dismember. I wish I had a church. I said you must dismember the lamb. You must cut it up. Take out the inward parts. Strip it off the fat. Drain the blood. Are you seeing the picture? Is anybody in the church with me? Put it on the altar. And then God ignites a fire under it. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? Abraham is being asked not just to kill the boy, but to stay there long enough to dismember him. Can I talk to the church today? God is asking Abraham to do for him what God is about to do for Abraham. Because God is about to offer Jesus as a burnt offering. Can I talk to the church today? He's about to offer him as a sacrifice. My father. Yes, my son. I know a thing or two about sacrifice. I'm young, but I know a thing or two. There are certain ingredients that would be needed for a successful sacrifice. You need some wood. You need stones for an altar. You need fire. You need knife. I'm seeing all of them stuff. But then you need a lamb. So my father, where is the lamb? Hallelujah. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can I talk to the church? Abraham, as if he's prophesying, looked at his son and said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. But then I wasn't satisfied, so I went to the Hebrew, and the Hebrew expression is hithpahel. And hithpahel says that God is not just providing for himself, but God is providing himself. Hallelujah. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? I said, God is not just providing for himself, but God is providing himself as a lamb for a burnt offering. Can I talk to the church today? I stop by to tell you that God is in the business of trading places, because the sacrifice should have been Isaac, but God will provide himself. As the sacrifice, anybody in the church with a preacher? God will provide himself as the burnt offering, as a sacrifice for the burnt offering. What do you mean, preacher? All that it means is this. I owed God a debt that I could not pay. So God decided to offer himself a sacrifice and then give me credit for it. I wish I had a church. I said he offered himself a sacrifice and then gave me credit for it. Is anybody in the church with me? And so it is. The Bible says, Abraham said God will provide himself as a lamb. Well, here it is. I'll wrap it up. Abraham never saw the lamb. Isaac never saw the lamb. Jacob never saw the lamb. David never saw the lamb. But at one gloomy day, can I talk to the church? On the banks of the River Jordan, there was a man preaching named John the Baptist. Is anybody in the church with me today? And in the midst of his preaching, he declared that there's one coming after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to untie. And then as he's preaching, he looked in the crowd and he saw his cousin. Is anybody in the church with me? And what Abraham wasn't able to say, what Isaac wasn't able to say, what Jacob was not able to say, John the Baptist was able to say. John the Baptist looked and said, behold. I said, behold. Abraham looked for him, but Abraham didn't see him. Isaac didn't see him. Jacob didn't see him. But John the Baptist got the privilege of welcoming Jesus onto the scene. Is anybody in the church? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He came down to my level when I couldn't get up to him. It should have been me, but he traded places. It took 2,500 years for him to arrive after that fateful day, but he came. Because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Can I talk to the church? So they hang him high. They stretched him wide. They whipped him. They drove nails in his hand. Can I talk to the church? He bled from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, giving me the assurance that I am covered from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Can I talk to the church today? I'm so happy today to announce to this church that you're sitting where you are today because Jesus traded places with you. And one day, I said, one glorious day, he will come again. And when he comes again, I won't just be trading places with him, but I'll be joined here with Jesus. I said I'll be joined here with Jesus throughout all the ages of eternity. And I will sing hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for trading places with me. Stand with me, everybody. Stand with me, everybody. Today, somebody saying, Jesus, I want to thank you for trading places with me. Thank you, Lord, for trading places with me. Because if it hadn't been for you on my side, then where would I have been? And so, Lord, today I just want to reconsecrate my life to you against the awesome reality that I'm only here today because you took my place on Calvary. If that's you, just raise your hand right where we are. You are. And then we'll pray for you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for salvation full and free. Thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you that while we were enemies, strangers, alienated from the commonwealth of God, that Christ came in the form of mankind, died a debt that I should have died, paid a debt that I owed, so that today I have the opportunity of claiming heaven as my own. So God, I pray that you'll take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. I pray, oh God, that you'll take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. I ask, oh God, that you'll take every part of my being, reconsecrate it to your service, Lord. I ask, oh great God, that when you come again, that all of us in this house today may hear from your lips the grand, well done, enter into the joys of thy Lord. Forgive us of our sins, we pray. And say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.